Next on The Balanced Word, learn how we get up after we fall down.
Even a good person falls, fails, stumbles, you know, gets tripped up. But the difference is if you're a good person and you're walking with the Lord, His hand is underneath you. He'll catch you. You'll stumble, but He'll pick you back up. If you decide to walk away from Him, if you decide that you can do it without Him, you fall down and there isn't going to be anyone to pick you up. They'll just walk right over you. And there are people who sadly make that decision. I want to be independent. I don't want to do things God's way. And when they fall, there they are. There's no one to lift them up. God's hand isn't there for them.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo welcomes you to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Raw. Great to have you with us today. Once again, we'll open our Bibles to the book of Psalms as we turn to Psalms 37 and 38. Most of us are familiar with the exploits of King David, from his early days as a shepherd boy all the way to King of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. He was also a sinner, just like us, and wrote some of his most eloquent words about his remorse over those sins and failures. Join us in Psalm 37 at verse 12 as we turn things over to our teacher, Pastor Dave Rolfe.
Psalm 37, in verse 12, the wicked plots against the just. That's what makes him wicked. Gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Now, when someone's plotting against you, plotting against me, trying to hurt us, the image here is that when that happens, God's just kind of chuckling. He's just kind of, look at that. I mean, when my kids were really small, they'd come, there were times when they would be mad at me, especially one of my sons. And, you know, I would have to make him go to his room and I'd have to physically hold him there. And he'd be so fighting to get out of the room, I'd pull him on my lap, I'd sit in the floor against the door, and I'd hold him in a bear hug, sometimes for an hour. And I'd be singing to him, I'd be praying for him, and he was trying to get out until he finally fell asleep. Then I'd put him in his bed. But when he said he was going to get me, when he threatened me, when he charged me, I would try not to laugh if he was angry, but I never really felt like he's going to beat me up. If he charged me today, I'd probably run. But in those days, it was just, you know, it's just kind of cute. And that's the way, because God's so great, that's the way he sees even the most evil person. It's like, what do you think you're going to do to me? You really think you can take me out? It's not like he's totally cracked up by it. He's going, oh, look at these evil people. Aren't they funny? Because he cares about them and he loves them. But when it comes to threatening him, God just kind of laughs it off. Over there in Psalm 2, it talks about that, how all the nations of the world are gathered against the Lord and against his anointed. It says, you know, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and against his anointed. And it says, and he that sits in the heavens will laugh. He'll have them in derision. He goes, who do you think you are? And so here, David is acknowledging that, you know, you can plan against God. You can plan against God's people. You can have every intention of hurting them. But as far as God's concerned, he looks at what you're doing and says, that's no threat. You don't scare me. You can't intimidate me. That's ridiculous. The wicked have drawn the sword, verse 14, and have kept their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Those who will continuously attack the people of God will end up being destroyed by their own weapons. They'll end up being like Haman, hanging on his own gallows. And then in verse 18, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. This is a good verse to read when you don't have much. Maybe you've lost some things that are really valuable to you, or you're looking at what other people have and just feeling like you're kind of jealous, or you're just, boy, we could use a little more room, or we could use a bit more of whatever it is that we would desire. Our car is broken down and the house is wearing out, or we're getting evicted and my job just doesn't pay enough for us to eat well. And looking at life and just going, I lack so much. And what David says is, and he knew it because there were times when he lived in a cave. There were times when he lived in a palace. And he says, if you have a little, but you're righteous, you're much better off than somebody who's wicked and is really rich. You're richer than they are because you have something that they can't have. You have something that lasts for eternity. True riches are riches that come when we decide to walk with God, to love Him, to serve Him. And nothing that this world has to offer can compare to the true riches that come as God blesses us and we have Him. Do you think that when people get to hell, they're going to be bragging about the nice car they had? I took my brother out to see his son the other day in Palm Springs, and there was a Lamborghini festival there or something. And there's Lamborghinis everywhere. And I confess, those are nice cars. And we went down in the hotel garage. There were rows and rows and rows of, you know, cars that were worth, you know, as much as a small condominium. And it's just like, wow, look at these things. But do you think that at the end of someone's life, as they find out that they've squandered everything, that they've lost whatever's really valuable to them, maybe even their soul, possibly their family and their friends and everything else, is somebody just going to sit there kissing their Lamborghini and believing that, well, you know, my life is just about over. I'm about to die. My family has deserted me. Everyone hates me. Boy, I'm glad I've got this Lamborghini. It's like the old joke about the yuppie who was driving along and his car went flying off the road and crashed and wrapped around a tree, and he was in horrible shape. And he was lying there and, you know, halfway hanging out of his car, and somebody came up and said, "Can I help you? Are you okay? What's going on?" And he was just going, "Oh, my Beamer, my Beamer." And the guy goes, "Your Beamer, your arm got ripped off and it's up in the tree." And he goes, "My Rolex, my Rolex." It's, you know, the things that people live for today, the things that people value today are really nothing compared to things that matter for eternity. And so David is acknowledging that I'd rather have a little and be righteous. Now, here's the really stupid thing, to have a little and be wicked. It's like, you got the worst of both worlds. So if you don't have much, be righteous. Walk with the Lord. And then you can say you're better off. You know, the only thing worse than a rich jerk is a poor jerk. I mean, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. He'll take care of them. The wicked are going to perish. They won't last. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. If you borrow something, you should give it back. The Bible says that the borrower is a servant to the lender in a way, but the idea here is, hey, pay what you owe. There are some people, it's just amazing, they'll go to great lengths to try to save a few bucks. You know, they'll have their kids lie about their age to get into the movies a little cheaper, compromising what they're teaching their kids about what's right and wrong to save a couple of bucks. I had a friend, he's a pastor now, but his father was a pastor too. And they went into SeaWorld one time and he had his boys lie about their age to save like $5. And later his dad felt so bad about it that he ended up writing a letter to SeaWorld and sending them the money and just saying, and he showed his boys the letter and he said, "What I did was wrong and I'm going to make it right." And he sent the money to SeaWorld. Well, SeaWorld was so impressed, they sent the money back and sent him some free tickets to come again anytime they wanted. I guess that doesn't happen very often. But it's so much more important to have a reputation and to show those around you that I want to do the right thing. That matters to me. A wicked person, they'll just try to get away with whatever they can. Risk, you know, I think I mentioned it before a couple weeks ago. I'm just amazed at what somebody like Martha Stewart, who's worth billions, was willing to risk and ended up going to prison to save like $50,000, which to us is like $5. And it's like, God, why do you do that? And yet you look at your own life and there are areas where it's just like, it would be so much easier just to pay my taxes. It would be so much easier just to not, you know, weasel out of everything, but just take care of business and do what you need to do. Don't be trying to slide by in every way that you possibly can. But not only that, he says, if you're not paying what you owe, you're wicked. But the righteous person goes beyond that and they'll just give. They'll be generous. They'll give where they don't need to. And so, you know, it's just a complete opposite. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. And it's true. We'll inherit the earth someday if we're his people. So why are we going to get in a big strive over some little piece of land today or some little, you know, numbers on paper, finances, and be so greedy about them when ultimately the whole earth is the Lord's and he promises to give it to us? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I'm going to fall. Even a good person falls, fails, stumbles, you know, gets tripped up. But the difference is if you're a good person and you're walking with the Lord, his hand is underneath you. He'll catch you. You'll stumble, but he'll pick you back up. If you decide to walk away from him, if you decide that you can do it without him, you fall down and there isn't going to be anyone to pick you up. They'll just walk right over you. And there are people who sadly make that decision. I want to be independent. I don't want to do things God's way. And when they fall, there they are. There's no one to lift them up. God's hand isn't there for them. And then this great verse, verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. The idea is God takes care of his own. And it's hard to take this scripture and apply it to every person's situation, but I believe it to be true. And there have been plenty of times when I thought I found the exception. Someone who's basically begging for bread, who really is a good, godly person, and this just happened. But there's a reason why they are where they are and why they're going through what they're going through. And I don't think we should be so quick to feel like everyone who's begging for bread needs our help and we ought to do something for them right away. Maybe the greater help that they need is to sit back and figure out where something went wrong. And if we just enable them by shoveling help at them, they don't learn to make the corrections in their life that they need to make in order to be truly righteous. Now, what I think about more often than not when I think of the scripture, though, are those people who are doing ministry, and basically their ministry is begging for bread. They're up there on television or they're up there in a pulpit, and they're just begging for people to give them money. They're conning people. They're promising all sorts of benefits from God if you'll give money to me. They are, you know, saying what great things they do, but oh, please support this ministry. And they live in these multi-million dollar mansions and they drive these fancy cars and they have bank accounts with tons of money and unlimited expense accounts, and they have the gall to be begging someone to give them money. The extreme ones are, I mean, the notorious ones are the situations like, you know, if you don't give me this much money, God's going to kill me. I say, hey, great. Don't give them money. Let's see what happens. Make a note of it in the back of your mind. If there's somebody who's begging for bread and they're righteous, then you've seen something that David never saw, that's for sure. And something that the Bible says, it doesn't work this way. If someone, the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So if you don't have anything, get to work. Figure something out. Do something about it. But don't beg and expect other people to support you. Our society has given people such a welfare mentality, and again, there are people, welfare is there for a reason. There are some people who absolutely need it and shouldn't feel bad about it at all. But we have this entitlement sort of mentality that, you know, there's something wrong with the fact that there are some people who have a lot and there are other people who don't have anything. Well, we ought to take everything that the rich people have and give it to the poor people and we'll all be even. Well, it doesn't work that way. And there are people who have speculated and postulated on some things like that, that they estimate that if you took all the money that everyone in the world has and divided up evenly, that within 5 years, the people who are rich now would be rich again because people get into situations because of decisions that they make often. And there are some people who are victims of things that have nothing to do with their choices, like a natural disaster, catastrophe, or something like that. But at the same time, for the most part, people are in the situation that results from the choices that they make in their life. And so, you know, David just reminds us of that and says, I haven't seen the righteous begging for bread. I haven't seen their kids out there holding up a sign that, you know, says, can you support me? Can you help me? It's something to think about. And I'll tell you something. I would rather give money to somebody that I see working than to see somebody who claims they're willing to work, but they really aren't. I am so impressed with the people who come into our country from Mexico. And, you know, you can argue about legal, illegal, and all that kind of stuff. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the fact that I frankly don't see a lot of our kids, and I frankly don't see a lot of native Californians. I don't mean native in terms of, you know, Native Americans. I'm just saying people that are here, I don't see them out there at Home Depot or Vista Paint or down at the work center on Laguna Canyon. I don't see them out there wanting to work. But I am impressed that people come into our country, take that risk, and they come here and they are willing to work. And they're not asking someone for a handout. And personally, I'd rather drive by and hand some money or buy some lunch for some guys that are out there actually working than I would a bum on a street corner who's pulling in, you know, 100, 200, 300 bucks a day by just out there begging with a can. And I used to sometimes take kids from the school and drive them down to Home Depot and go, look at that. See those guys running up to every truck that pulls up? They want to work. They're trying to do that for their family. And I honor that. I have a friend who she teaches at Calvary, Marcy Walker, and her dad was an undocumented worker, illegal alien. And growing up, he'd keep getting deported. She was a citizen. She was born in the U.S., but he wasn't. They'd go down and talk to him at the border, and then he'd manage to get back. And he basically supported them for years and years and years by doing that. Now, I don't want to offend anyone who gets offended by, well, they shouldn't even be here, because that's a whole separate issue and I'm not even going to go into it. All I'm saying is, if I'm a guy and my family's hungry, I admire the one who would say, I'm going to figure out a way to support my family. And I'll tell you, I haven't felt guilty at all at times at giving some work to people that want it and or just handing them money or blessing them with something. And I love Pastor Jose goes down to the thing on Laguna Canyon Road where those guys are working and serves them burritos and coffee and shares the gospel with them. You can go, oh, these aren't even Americans. Well, hey, you know, I respect somebody who will work. And God has always said that's the way it should happen. And so I'll get off that. We'll never get anywhere else. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Being good and following the Lord and walking with him, you'll always be blessed. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You want to be wise? You want to be righteous? Then put the words of God in your mouth. Memorize the scripture. Learn what he has to say. Share with other people what God is telling you from his word. And as a result, that wisdom that comes out of your mouth makes you righteous. The law of God in your heart. God wants to do that. That's the new covenant. Puts his law within our heart. If what's coming out of our mouth is foolishness, it just indicates what's in our heart. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him, but the Lord won't leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. The wicked will be cut off, and you'll see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away. And behold, he was no more. Give him time, wicked people will ultimately destroy themselves. That's what wickedness does. Indeed, I sought him, couldn't find him. And then he says, mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace. To mark and observe, it's to look for people who are doing it right and to say, just watch what's going to happen. So often our eyes are on people who are doing it wrong. But if you find someone who diligently serves God, who loves him, who makes those decisions that are even sacrificial to themselves and expensive, and it looks like, oh man, you shouldn't do this, and yet they're doing it because they believe it's right, and it turns out it's not a sacrifice at all. God is always going to come through for people that do it his way. And so I believe that the exhortation here is look around for people who are doing it right and see what happens. If you want, you can also watch people who are doing it wrong, and you'll see what happens to them as well.
We'll pause our study right here, but Pastor Dave Rolfe will be back in just a minute. So please stay with us as the Balanced Word continues. We're traveling through the Psalms right now. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. All right, let's peek into Psalm 38 for a minute or two. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe to close things out on The Balanced Word.
Chapter 38, he was going through some suffering that came as a result of some of his own sin. And he was being chastised for it. God was dealing with him. And he says, oh Lord, don't rebuke me in your wrath or chasten me in your hot displeasure. It's like, hey, I deserve it, but God, can you give me some mercy? He goes on to talk about the iniquities that have gone over his head in verse 4. His wounds are foul and festering in verse 5. Because of my foolishness, he says in verse 5. I've done it to myself, but still, God, please give me a break. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I'm mourning all day long. My loins are full of inflammation. No soundness in my flesh. I'm falling apart. Everything hurts. I'm feeble, severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire, verse 9, is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants. My strength fails me. The light of my eyes, it's gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. He's going, man, this hurts so much, and I know I deserve it, but the only people that want to be close to me, even my family doesn't want to be close to me, the only people that want to be close to me are the people who are trying to kill me. He's going, God, this is killing me. This is wiping me out. But despite all of this attack, he says, I, like a deaf man, do not hear. And I'm like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus, I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. He said, God, despite the fact that I am getting run over here, I know I deserve it. I need your help. It doesn't look like you're coming through for me at this point, but I'm not going to say anything, and I'm not going to pay attention to the threats. I'm going to shut myself off completely for, verse 15, in you, O Lord, I hope you will hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. So he goes, God, I'm going to let you take care of this one. For I'm ready to fall. My sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare my iniquity. I'm telling you, I've done wrong. I will be in anguish over my sin. I'm repentant. I know I got myself into this. But my enemies are vigorous and strong. They hate me, and there's more of them all the time. Those also who render evil for good, they're my adversaries because I follow what is good. Don't forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. It's great to know that not only does God take care of the righteous, that when we choose to do the right thing, that God is there for us, delivering us from our enemies. But not only that, even when we are getting what we precisely deserve, even when we have made stupid decisions and we're suffering the consequences of those decisions, we can still cry out to God. He'll still protect us. He'll still help us.
And isn't that encouraging to know? No matter what may have happened in our past, God wants to help us in the present. He's that gracious and good. On that note, we'll leave you today on The Balanced Word. Enjoy the weekend ahead, and we hope to have you back with us here next week as we continue our study of the Psalms with Pastor Dave Raw. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my